morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Good to see each of you for our divine service. Welcome, Margie and Ron, all the way from Washington. Welcome you to our church, your church. Good to see you folks. What's the weather like in Washington right now? Snowing. So we have something to be thankful for, yes? Amen. Because we know what it's like when you're out in the snow. It's not very fun, especially if you're dressed up in church clothes. But welcome. Happy Sabbath to each of you. All right. Have you been blessed? Yes. We should be thankful. I like what the pastor presented earlier this morning on Thanksgiving. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And I'm sure you and I have partaked of the bounties that God has given us. And it is a blessing that we're able to wake up despite of the warfare. Despite of the warfare. You know, God's people are in warfare. Believe me, I've been in warfare this past week. And I had to hang on to the blessings of God. So this morning, I want to give him all the honor and glory and the privilege that I can be here to worship our Lord and Savior. I was able to wake up this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Woke up this morning. And my heart's still beating despite of what the devil is trying to do. Yeah. I want to praise him, and I want to thank the church for allowing me to be here in the pulpit. It's only by the grace of God that God gives me this privilege to speak for him. So I want to give him honor and glory this morning. Our title this morning is To Make Your Calling and Election Sure. We all have to make our calling and election sure. What we're going to do is we're going to apply the principle this morning on Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Okay. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We did this about a month ago on our study in our Sabbath school. On the principle of Isaiah 28, bringing us back to the Word of God. I heard three amens. The Word of God.
Amen.
Amen? The Word of God, this is the pen of inspiration, the Word of God is a wellspring of life. Amen?
Amen.
What is a wellspring? It's a source of continual supply. It will never run dry. So the Word of God is a continual supply or a source, a wellspring of life. As you seek, mark those words because we're going to come back to that word seek. As we seek into those living springs, you will, through the Holy Spirit, be brought into connection or communion with God. Are you searching for the Word of God? Are you searching for the wellspring? Then it says, familiar truth will present themselves in a new aspect. Familiar truth through the Holy Spirit will bring new aspect. It'll give you a new meaning. Old text will burst into upon you with a new meaning as a flash of light. You will see, she says, you will see in relation to the work of redemption, the plan of redemption. You will see another truth, the work of redemption. And you will see that God is leading you. A divine teacher at your side. Mono Blessing, page 36. So as you seek for those living springs, you will see that God is leading you. Familiar truth, that Bible verses that you've been reading, that you grew up with, that you've memorized. Suddenly, one day you wake up and you look at the Bible text and you go, whoa, I never saw it that way. Let me explain. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is a familiar text that we all know. Nothing new today, nothing new under the sun. This has always been here. But we're going to see it in a new light. As Ellen White says, it will burst upon you with a new meaning. Text of Scripture will burst upon you in a new aspect. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and some of His righteousness. Huh? What did it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and some of these things shall be added unto you. All of these things shall be added unto you. But the key word is, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? That's a question that you have to answer for yourself this morning. And so we're on the principle of Isaiah 28. We're going to look at all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer. You may kneel with me that we can have the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we may be enlightened to understand His truth for us today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before Your throne of grace, seeking Your face this morning. I pray, Lord, that Your presence will be here, that You will use me as a spokesperson, not for my own way, Your name, Father, will be glorified upon this earth. I pray, Father, that You will send Your Holy Spirit now to enlighten all our minds so that we may prepare to make our calling and election sure. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're applying the principle of Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 36. Familiar truth, she says, will burst upon you with a new meaning. You have this book at home. Amen? She says, familiar truth will present themselves to your mind in a new aspect. Nothing new under the sun. It's just that the Holy Spirit is enlightening our minds to give us a better and clearer understanding of these truths. She says, you will see in relation of other truth to the work of redemption. So what we're studying this morning, to make your calling and election sure, we need to understand first Matthew 6:33. So the question is, are we seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Amen? Amen? Go to Proverbs with me, quickly. My time is limited today. It's going to go quickly, I know, because it always happens. Just seems like I never am able to finish. So let's go quickly. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me later. What, Pastor? Early. Those that seek me early shall find me. We've studied that a couple weeks ago. Seeking God early in the morning. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says, very early in the morning, rising up before dawn, he went into a solitary place and there he prayed. Jesus is giving us an example this morning on how to make your calling and election sure. You seek God first in the morning. Early in the morning. And Pastor was talking about the manna that rained. Did the manna rain in the evening? It rained what time, Ron? In the morning. Okay? In a spiritual sense, the manna represents the Word of God. You need to seek for those living springs. Seek me early. Go to Isaiah 55. Go there quickly. And we will see even more of what God is trying to tell us to make our calling and election sure. Isaiah 55. Are you there? Amen? Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly, what? Abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. So we're seeking God very early in the morning. And we're asking him, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do today? Where do you want to lead me today? What do you want me to read? I'm sure most of you have a book that you're reading now, besides the Bible. Amen? So we're seeking God. And the Bible says that those that seek me early shall find me. Seeking the Word of God, seek Him first, the kingdom of God. So what is this kingdom of God? Pastor has a handout out there in the foyer. But we're going to go surface reading. We're not going to have time to go into depth on this study, because I want to get to that point in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. So what is this kingdom of God? Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Go quickly. Mark chapter 1. We're going to do a little Bible study today. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We know that the kingdom of God is in heaven. So how many have been to heaven? No hand? So where is this kingdom? Where is the kingdom of God? If no one has been to heaven, where is it? It's in your heart. It's a spiritual rule in the hearts and lives of all, listen, of all who are willing to submit to the authority of God. Are you willing to submit to God? Are you willing to submit to His authority? Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. So we're seeking God. Go back to Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we know His righteousness is His law. Psalms 119, 172. The righteousness is His law. Have we given our authority? We submitted and willing to submit to the law of God. All 10 of the law of God. Because you and I will be judged by that law, according to Romans chapter 2. We're going to be judged by that law. So we need to submit to the authority of God and obey His law. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the truth in relation to the work of redemption. You will see it this morning. In relation to the work of redemption. Familiar truth will burst upon you with a new meaning. Texts of Scripture will come upon you in a new aspect. So all these things, would you like to know what all these things will be? Because this is the truth that will lead you to the plan and the work of redemption. Go with me to 2 Peter. Go with me to 2 Peter. Let's look at it. 2 Peter. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1, verse 2. We've studied this. I'm sure all of us here have read this, and we're just reviewing this morning. On all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe this is a promise? This is a promise to all of us this morning. So let's look at it. Let's look at this promise so that we can embrace this promise to make our calling and election sure. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. The pastor talked about grace this morning. We don't have time to go into grace. Grace and peace. Would you like peace? Is there peace in this world? But we can have peace in our hearts. Amen? Grace and peace be multiplied. It's like a wellspring. A source of continual supply that will never run dry. Can you imagine? Grace that never runs dry? Hello? Wake up. Grace that never runs dry. Never runs dry. Through the knowledge of God. I looked at that word, knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, as revealed in Christ, is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. Is our lives transformed into the knowledge of God this morning? We need to understand that we need to make our calling and election sure. So the knowledge of God and of Jesus and of our Lord. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life. Verse 1 John chapter 5 verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And in this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. We're applying the principle of Isaiah 28 verse 10. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. And so what we're seeing here is eternal life. God wants to give us eternal life. And this eternal life is found in His Son. And this is life eternal. That they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Whom Thou hast sent. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. So, He wants to give us eternal life and godliness. What is godliness? Righteousness? Holiness? Go with me to Titus. Go there with me. Titus, line upon line. We're applying the principle of line upon line. Line upon line. Titus. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to some men. To all men. Teaching us, denying ungodliness. God wants to give us godliness. But here, Paul is telling us to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness is wickedness. A disregard of God's holy law. A disregard of His command. A disregard and being disobedient. We need to deny ungodliness. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Titus chapter 2. Okay? Are you with me? Amen? All right, let's go. Who has called us to knowledge of Him, that has called us to glory and virtue. What is this glory? What is this glory? We're applying the principle of Isaiah 28, verse 10. His glory. Fear God and give glory to Him. Praising His name. Giving God the glory. Woke me up this morning. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, thank You for not allowing me to get a heart attack last night. Amen? Amen. Strange things are happening. And I'm asking, Lord, save me in Your kingdom. But God wants to give us glory and virtue. Verse 4, look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 4. Partaker of the divine nature. You can write this down. Look up Maranatha, page 115. Maranatha, page 237. Write it down. The divine nature is the character of God's nature becomes my own. His nature, His character becomes mine. His character. I live for His character. True character. Because there's a false character. Character consists of thoughts and feelings. Your thoughts and your feelings combine make up the moral character. We want to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can see the lust. The Bible makes very clear what lust is. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, we're not going to go there. Just write it down and study it for yourself. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. We're looking at to make your calling and election sure. We're going through the steps now. This is how we can be saved. How many of you want to be saved this morning? Yes. This is the key. What we're studying this morning, if you study it for yourself, line upon line, line upon line, there's no reason why we shouldn't be saved. No reason. We should all be saved. We want to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this world is full of lust. We don't want to be part of that. That's why we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are a chosen generation. The prophets wish they were in our day to see what is being fulfilled. So we need to be a partaker of the divine nature. Verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. What does that word mean, diligence? What it means, it means a constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Are you accomplishing what you're undertaking this morning? Are you succeeding in your diligence? Getting up very early in the morning, rising up before dawn, going into your solitary place, and you go boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, what do You have me to do today? Diligence. A constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. And the Bible is telling us here, line upon line, line upon line, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know that word virtue? It's power. Efficiency. Power. To add to your faith. Faith is a substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith. Two examples of faith. You know the story of the centurion. His servant was sick. Saw Jesus. He heard about Jesus. He runs up to Jesus. He says, "Sir, my servant is sick." We can look at that in Matthew chapter 8, but we won't go there right now. Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13. And Jesus says, "Let's go." He says, "No, you don't need to come to my house." I'm paraphrasing. "Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Was his servant healed? Absolutely. And you know, when he went home the next day, his servant came out of the house and said, "Your servant is healed." He says, "What time of the day that was?" The day, which was the other day, when Jesus spoke the word, that servant was healed. How about the other example found in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, where the daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. She was going to reach out to Jesus by faith, believing that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Was she healed? She was healed by faith. We are going to need faith for these last days. Grasping the promises of God to make our calling and election sure. Besides this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance. Were we temperate this past couple of days ago? Amen? I heard two amens. Amen? Yes, temperance. In order for us to be patient, we have to be temperate. This is the health message. God didn't just give us the health message. He gave it to us for one purpose. To prepare us for our calling and election. Sure. We heard the three angels' message last Sabbath. It's the right arm. The health message is the right arm of the gospel. Amen? Amen. This message is not about a health message today, but it's here. In these verses. Be temperate. Because in order to be patient, we have to be temperate. And in order to be patient, we have to be, in order to be godly, we have to be patient and temperate. Then the Bible says, and to patience, godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Are you kind? No amens? Are you kind? Are we kind to one another? We have to be kind to one another. Love one another. Can you love someone without being kind? No, cannot. They walk together, hand in fist, right? To be kind. And to be brotherly kindness, charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be fruitful. Ellen White tells us in page 66 of Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, if Christ is in you, it is impossible to conceal the light of his presence. You are going to be fruitful. What are the fruits of the Spirit? It's in all goodness, righteousness, right? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 9. In all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, It will be displayed. It comes out, springing into everlasting life. You will never be barren nor unfruitful. If you're applying the principle of what we just read this morning from verse 2 to verse 8, you will not be barren. You will not be empty. You are going to be fruitful. How many of you want to be fruitful? Yeah, I need to be fruitful. Lord, help me to be fruitful. Help me to be used to your honor and glory, Lord. I fail miserably, but I need help, Lord. Please, I don't want to be barren. I want to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. You see, the problem with God's people today, you can see it in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed because lack of knowledge. It is not the knowledge of theory. It's the knowledge of a transformation of character. Our characters are not transformed to the divine nature. Who is Jesus coming back for? He's going to come back for people that are going to be just like Him on this earth. There's going to be a group of them. Are you part of that group? Do you want to be part of that group? Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give a constant effort, that word diligence, give a diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. You shall never fall. So what are these things? What are these things? We're going to look at, and I'm going to spend the rest of my time this morning looking at verse 10. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. The text that applies to this on line upon line, is found in Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you what? Faultless. To present you faultless? Come on, finish it. Come on. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with what? Exceeding joy. This will bring joy to your heart when you are blameless. You are faultless. How many of us want to be faultless? Blameless. And come before his throne of grace in the presence of God. But there is something that we need to do. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So what is it? What is our calling? We need to understand. To make your calling and election sure. What is this calling? What is this calling that God has called us to bear? You want to know? Do you want to know? Amen? The Bible's going to give us the answer. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. Amen? All right, let's look at it. Our calling. Let's look at the word calling. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7:20. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Are you there? Amen? Yeah. We're going to spend the rest of our 20 minutes on this verse, this passage. This is going to get really good because I was really overwhelmed as I started to study what my calling and election, what does it require for all of us? Verse 20, look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also that he is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So our calling is to be a servant. Well, let's confirm that even more. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Are you there? We're turning our pages. Are you there? Amen? Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And this is Jesus. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Here again, the scripture is telling that we need to be servants. You're there in Mark? Go to Matthew. Matthew 20. We're applying the principle of line upon line, line upon line. Matthew 20. Are you there? Matthew 20. Look at verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. A servant. Properly a servant. In the other versions, it will say servant. In the Revised Standard and the NIV will say servant. But minister, if you look at it in the Webster's, minister is being a servant. A chief servant, by the way. A chief servant. Verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give a life, a ransom for many. Do you realize that you and I are called to be servants? See, the problem with us, we want to be chief. We want to be chief. You can't be a chief until you become a servant. See, the problem is, and it's unfortunate, the examples that Jesus gave us was found in the disciples. You know the story in the upper room? When they all were settled in the upper room, and there is a bowl and basin, the Desire of Ages makes it very clear that it was customary that when those gentlemen were up in the upper room, there was a servant to wash their feet. But there was no one there to wash the feet of the disciples. And who washed the feet of the disciples? Jesus. You know, there's a statement I read in the Desire of Ages. Let me read it to you. 644 Desire of Ages. At the feast it was customary for a servant to wash the feet of the guests. And on this occasion, preparation had been made for the service. The pitcher, the basin, and the towel were there in readiness for the feet washing. But no servant was present, and it was the disciples' part to perform it. Ellen White says the disciples were to perform this service. But each of the disciples yielding to wounded pride. What is the seven things that God hates? Pride. Now we're looking at pride in the context of what we're studying now. They were too proud. Determined not to act the part of a servant. All manifested a stoical unconcern, seeming unconscious that there was anything for them to do. By their silence, they refused to humble themselves. This was not just put to fill the pages of the Desire of Ages. This has an application for us this morning. I want to read another statement. This is now when Peter started to watch Jesus wash the disciples' feet. When Peter's turn came, he exclaimed with astonishment, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Christ says, "What I do," Christ said, "thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter could not bear to see his Lord, whom he believed to be the Son of God, acting the part of a servant. Peter said, "I can't believe this is the Son of God and he's acting like a servant." Yeah. Yeah. The beginning of the page of the Desire of Ages. The whole life of Christ had been a life of unselfish service. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. This is the life of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Majesty of Heaven, the King of Glory, came to minister. But not yet had the disciples learned the lesson. At this last Passover supper, Jesus repeated his teaching by an illustration that impressed it forever on their minds and heart. Jesus wanted to display it to them. Our calling is to be a servant. Go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter Are you there? "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're looking at what our calling is. To make our calling and election sure. Are you there? Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Starting at 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be" what? Perfect. Our calling is to be perfect. Oh, but no one's perfect. No one will be perfect. But my Bible tells me, and we just read it, let us therefore as many be perfect. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect. Oh, Matthew 5. Come on, you guys should know this. Be perfect even as my heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter chapter 1. Be holy for I am holy, right? Well, we're going to get there. I jumped ahead of that one, but be perfect. God is calling us to be perfect. Today, the gospel is being watered down. We cannot be perfect. But there's going to be a group of people that are going to be perfect in Christ. In Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Our calling is to be a servant this morning. Our calling is to be perfect. Who are thou called according to his purpose? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we are called. Our calling is to be holy. Our calling is to be a servant. Our calling is to be perfect. Our calling is to be holy in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go back to 2 Peter. Go back to 2 Peter. We're applying the principle of line upon line, line upon line. Line upon line. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You will have an entrance into the heavenly kingdom. You shall never fall. As I started to look and to study this, I was praising God that I can be faultless this morning. I can be blameless this morning. And I can be brought into the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Here, you have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. You have the assurance this morning that you will be saved. Amen? I want that assurance. Because my friends, we are facing some trials that are coming ahead of us. And we need to be grounded in this truth to make our calling and election sure. For if you do all these things, you shall never fall. See, what we don't realize is that we're going to be facing trials and affliction. This is a serious matter. And the reason why I decided to share this, God impressed me to share this message to you today, because we have to be on a solid ground for these trials that are coming ahead of us. I want to be assured. Do you want to be assured? Let me read a statement. I got two statements and I'm going to close. This is Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5. Page 129. It is necessary. When we use that word, she used the word necessary. What does necessary mean? It's absolute. Vital. This is important. Necessary. What we read through 2 Peter chapter 1 is necessary. It's absolute. When you do these things, you shall never fall. And here, Ellen White is telling us it is necessary that every individual member build upon the rock, Christ Jesus. A storm is arising that will wrench and test the spiritual foundation of everyone to the utmost. That means no one here will be exempted. A storm is arising. Therefore, avoid the sand bed. Hunt for the rock. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Dig deep. Lay your foundation sure. Build, oh, build for eternity. Build with tears, with heartfelt prayers. You building? Are we building? Am I building? Because here, in page 136, she says, now is the time for God's people to show themselves true to principle. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, and we're seeing that right now as we see what's unfolding in our nation, when His law is most despised, then should our zeal be the warmest and our courage and firmness the most unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsakes us. What's happening in our world is that the majority is forsaking us already. You are seeing it. If you don't see it, something's wrong. We are seeing it. It's happening right in front of our eyes, and we're like the proverbial frog in the hot water being boiled. When His law is most despised, and by the way, Ellen White tells us in Maranatha page July 1st, she says that our law, the law of God, will be repudiated. Our constitution will be thrown out the window. The law of God will be disconnected, discontinued. Then she says this, then should our zeal be the warmest and our courage and firmness to the most unflinching, to stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsakes us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few. And that's why in Maranatha, Evangelism, page 57, the greatest want of the world is the want of men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men who shall stand for the right though the heavens fall. To stand in defense of truth. Are you willing to stand in defense of the truth? To stand in defense of the truth and righteousness when the majority forsakes us. To fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. At this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. There's treason going on in our nation. There's treason going on. But what happened back then if you committed treason? You were hung on a tree. They're committing treason right in front of our eyes, lying to us. And we need to stand up for the truth. Amen? The nation, listen, the nation will be on the side of the great rebel leader. The test will surely come. Now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not January when we make a new resolution. She says now. When she says now, what does that mean? Right now. Today. At this moment. Now is a time when we should closely connect with God, that we may be hid when the fierceness of His wrath is poured upon the sons of men. We have wandered away from the old landmarks. Let us return. The Lord be God, serve Him. If Baal, serve him. Which side will you be on? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you making your calling and election sure? For if you do all these things, you shall never fall. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let us kneel. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, and on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray, Lord, that You will instill this, these thoughts and these words in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, we know that we are living in the closing scenes of this earth history. We're in critical condition, Father, and we don't seem to realize it. Forgive us for our inconsistent lives. Forgive us for our rebellious hearts. Whatever it is that is separating us from You, Lord, I pray that You will remove it today. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we may be accounted worthy, Lord, to be placed in that Lamb's Book of Life. Looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. This morning, Father, I lift each one up to You today. You know who they are, Lord. I need to commit my life to You. Please, Father, strengthen our faith, our walk with You this morning, that we may continue to reflect Your love, Your joy, Your peace. Father, as we leave the church today, I pray that You will send Your mighty and holy angels to surround us, protect us as we travel home. But Father, please give us the opportunity to share the wonderful news of the gospel to a dying world today. We love You, we praise You, and we thank You for these blessings this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us, sanctify us, that we may prepare for the times that are coming ahead of us. May the Lord bless you. Amen.